Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Lamed Dalet. We left off 5 lines from the bottom of the page on daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Today, we have a triple sponsorship. First by Avishai and Elishev Newman, Lizchus Rufus Lema for Sarah Freida Bas Chaya, and Lizecher Nishmas Chaim Nachali Ben Yaakov Shlomo, and Dvar Shiri Chaya Bas, I don't know the father's name, was Hinda Peril. And it's also sponsored anonymously, L'Kavod HaTorah V'Lamdeha, and it's also sponsored by Joseph Fried, L'Zechus Rufus Shlema, for Fega Miriam Bas Naomi. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and we hope that the learning provides Z'chus for Rufus Shlema and for Aliyah for those neshamas. So we're holding on Daf Lamed Gimel base, 5 lines from the bottom of the page. We are at Darash Maremar. We were in the middle of discussing if you have kalim that are lined with some type of lead, whether you can be whether it's balei of the tam and you can extract the tam of the yayin that was in them previously, so that a Jew can use it for his own wine. Then the Gemara is going to begin with the discussion of how the halachos of yayin esach may differ from the halachos of Pesach in that regard. That when it comes to Hilchos Pesach, we may have different rules about extracting the tam from such kelim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the Mishnah had spoken about chartzanim and zagim of avdei kechavim, that the grape products after winemaking of avdei kechavim, whether you're allowed to use them, that they have an isser hana. So the Gemara is going to, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to bring a brisa that paskins what like one of the shitos in the Mishnah. Then we're going to move on to the discussion of morias. Morias is some type of fish fat that was made by avdei kechavim and it was mixed with other ingredients. So the Gemara is going to discuss why it is that a mayor holds that it's Asr Afilu Bahana'a, and the Chum say that no, it's not Asr Bahana'a, meaning what the different types of Morias and whether the Halacha might change based on different types of Morias. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the next item that was listed in the Mishnah, which is Gvinas Beis Unyaki. The Gvinas Beis Unyaki were also something that Rameir held as an Isra'na, and the Chum said was not Asr Ba'ana. So the Gemara is going to discuss, why would Rameir Asr some sort of cheese Ba'ana'a? What would be the problem of the Gvinas Beis Unyaki? And then that's going to lead the Gemara into the next line of the Mishnah, which told the story where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yishma, that Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Yeshua were walking together, and they had a whole conversation about gvinas of chavim, whether cheese of avid chavim, what the problem is with it, what the issue might be. So the Gemara is going to discuss the psul of gvina that would make it asr b'ana, and whether it in fact is enough to make it asr b'ana or just enough to make it asr b'achila. So let's begin again, 5 lines from the bottom of the page on daf lamed gimel and beis. Darash Maremar. So Darash Maremar Kunya, a certain type of kli cheres of avdei kechavim that is lined with some type of lead. So that were glazed in some way. So bein uchma, bein chivra, bein yeruka, shari. That it doesn't make a difference whether it's black, whether it's white, whether it's green. In all cases, it's going to be mutter. That is against what we finished saying yesterday, because yesterday we made a distinction between the different colors of the of this type of kli, and we said that chibra v'uchma. We said yesterday that if it's white or black, it's mutter. If it's yeroka, it's aser. If it's green, it's aser. Now we're saying no, even green, it's all going to be mutter. So says Gemara, okay, assuming that that's correct, that they're all mutter. So maishna chametz mi chametz bePesach. Why is the kunya that had yayin of Ovid Chavim in it different than the kunya that had chametz in it? And you want to know whether you can use those kelim on Pesach. It used to be that not everyone would have a whole new set of kelim for Pesach, as a kashering kelim was a very important issue. Nowadays, less so. Okay, there's a little bit of kashering kelim. It's usually kashering the kitchen, not kashering the kelim. But it used to be kashering the kelim was a very big deal, whether you can use these kelim on Pesach. So, they asked the shaila of Maremar, Hani, Mani Dukunya, these kli cheres that have this lead lining that had chametz in it, malishtamu shebim Pesach. Are you allowed to use it on Pesach, or do you have to worry about the blios of chametz that are in the kli? So yeruka lo tibaylach. If it's yarok, if it's green, it's not a shayla. Dimitzar fi ubali, because the kli has a very absorbent type of dirt that it's made out of, and for sure it's going to be balei chametz va Asiri, and therefore it's going to be Asir. It's full of Blios of Chametz. There's nothing you can do about it. Because you have to remember, it's a Kli Cheres. The halach is by Kli Cheres, that once a piece of Cheres is Bolei Atam, it's Eini Yotze Midei Daf Yoliolam. It never comes out of the walls of a Kli Cheres. Whereas, by other Kelim, we say Kibolo, Kach Polto, the same way it absorbed the flavor, that's how it will extract the flavor. We don't say such a thing by Kli Cheres. By Kli Cheres, it's going to be there forever. So Kiti Bayilach, the whole Shaila you could ask about is Chivri V'Uchmi, is if you have white or black Kelim of this type. So my, what's the din? Are we Choshesh for the Blios of Chametz? So Ki Ispuhu Kartufni, when these Kelim have cracks in them, Loti Bayilach, Devade Bali, then certainly through the cracks it will be Boleva Asiri, and therefore it's going to be Asur. Kiti Bayilach, Deshi'i, the Shaila is if they're completely smooth, there are no cracks whatsoever. So then, my, then we have a Shaila what the din is. So Amlu Anachazim, Alu, he said, you know, I saw such Kelim, Demadyasi, that they sweat on the outside of the Kli, that when you boil them up, they're polate from the walls, the outer walls are polate, whatever liquid is in them, it comes out. Vikim Demadyasi, and since they sweat on the outside, Vadi Bali, obviously there are Blios in those walls, what else is coming out? Vasiri, and therefore it's Asir. You might say, oh, but look, the Blios are coming out. Some of the Blios are coming out, but we assume that by Kli Cheres, the Blios never fully come out. My time, and what's the reason that you can't be machshir them? It's like we said, a Torah idal Kli Cheres, she'enu yotze midei dafna li'olam, that the Torah is made about Kli Cheres, that whatever liquid is absorbed, or whatever tam, rather, is absorbed into the Dofnei Kli, are never going to come out of the Dofnei Kli. The Mesech Pesachim, the Girsis and Daf Lamed, She'enu Yotze Midei Dofyo Li'olam, that it's not the Mashke that's in it, it's the Kli itself, that the Dofyo means the Psul, that it's She'enu Yotze Midei Dofyo Li'olam, that the Kli is never going to leave its Psul, but the way we have the Girsis, She'enu Yotze Midei Dofno, that the Blios are never going to leave their walls, it's never going to leave the walls that they're in. So Kli, so this Kli, there's no way to kasher it. It's unlike a Kli Mateches, where you could be machshir with Hagalah, because Kabbalah Kach Polto, and even by Kli Eitz, the Torah says Kli Eitz Yishatik B'mayim, by Kli Mateches, certainly Koldav Asher Yavo Be'esh, Tevaru Be'esh, the Torah says, so anything is, so you could do a normal Hagalah, but Kli Cheres is not that way. What does the Torah say about Kli Cheres that you get from Goyim? It says Yishaver, you have to smash it, you have to break it. It's, there is no way to be mitahir it. Now you could put it back into the kiln and to reburn it, and that way you'll still have some use for it. But that's not considered that the isur is yotze from the kli. That's considered that you're making a brand new kli. That's what Tosus points out over here in Dibra Maskul She'eno. That's panim chadashos ba'olakan. So it's not that all is lost. It's not that these raw materials are never going to be able to provide you with any usage. You put it back in the kiln and you refashion it and you remake it. So that's perfectly fine. The Rabbeinu Yonah understands that when you put it back into the kivshan, the isur doesn't leave the kli. It's not niflat from the kli. It gets burnt within the kli. It gets completely. It's the difference between, for example, hagala and libun. When we do hagala, so you drop something in the boiling hot water, we assume that the tam is going to be drawn out of the kli. When you do libun, you take something like a blowtorch and you blowtorch something. So it's not that you're drawing the tam out of the kli. You're going to where the tam is and destroying it and completely burning it. So we assume when you put the kli cheres back into the kivshan, it's not that the blios are coming out. You're finding those blios and they're being destroyed in their spot. That's why it's enemy yotze midei dofyo li'olam. It's never going to leave. So says Gemara. So now the Gemara asks the question: Maishna miyayin nesach? Why is the halach of chametz bePesach different than yayin nesach? The darsh l'maremar, because maremar taught when it came to yayin nesach, kulu mani du kunya, all these kli cheres of kunya, shari are mutter, because they're not really boleya anything. Yet when it came to Pesach, we said that it's not so, that it's going to be usher, and we assume these kelim do absorb. So says Rav Chitayma, and if you're going to say chametz daraisa yayin nesach drabanan, that chametz is daraisa yayin nesach is only an isid drabanan, which is really a mischaracterization, meaning not really yayin nesach. If it were actual yayin nesach, that would be daraisa. What we mean by yayin nesach over here is stam yenam, when you get wine from an Ovid Chavim, you don't know that it was ever used for libations for Avodah Zarah. If it was, if you know that it was, then it's Nisadar Raisa. Or Donat Stam Yenam, you buy a Kli from an Ovid Chavim, so you don't know that it was ever used for actual Yainesach, who's Stam Yenam, it's only Drabanan. So maybe that's why we're more Machmir by Chametz and more Mekil by Stam Yenam, but that can't be because of how called the Tikkun Rabbanan can Dar Raisa Tikkun. We have a Klal that whenever the Chavim made a din, they always try to pattern it after a din d'oraisa. So whatever the din d'oraisa should have been, the din d'rabbanan is always supposed to mimic the din d'oraisa. Ze tashmisho b'chamin, by chametz. So the way you use it is by using it for hot things, and therefore it's boleya. Ze tashmisho b'tzonein, and by yayinesach, by stam yenom, we assume that it's generally used for cold. That's the real difference. Not the d'oraisa d'rabbanan difference. That would not have been a sufficient difference because called the tikkun rabbanan kendar raisa tikkunum, which is an interesting idea. Meaning we do have differences in halacha between dinim daraisa and dinim rabbanan. Savik daraisa l'chumra, savik rabbanan l'kula. But I guess what the Gemara is trying to say is that in its very essence, the dinim rabbanan are supposed to mimic the dinim daraisa. So the way the halachas are set up, this is not an issue of safik. This is an issue of whether there is a blia, whether it's boleya bichlal, whether we assume that there's a blia, so that it can't be that Chum just made up a din that Stam Yenam is going to be a kashrus problem and then not really treat it like a kashrus problem. Meaning, if it's a kashrus problem, then it has to be that when it's when there are blios in the wall, that's going to be a problem. Yeah, that's not necessarily true of every din drabanan. The Gemara has the Rishonim have machlokas. What about blios of bishul akum? We're going to hit the sugya soon of bishul akum. What if you have kelim where perfectly kosher kelim, the guy cooked perfectly kosher food in those kelim, except the food that the guy was cooking was obviously bishul akum because it was a guy cooking it. So does that trape up the kelim? So one might say, well, if the rabbanon are going to be serious about bishul akum, you're going to treat it like machalos asuros, so mele, then it has to trape up the kelim. Exactly what the Gemara is saying over here, called tikkun rabbanon kendar raisa tikkunum. But over there, what the machlokas Rishonim seems to be is machlokas whether we treat bishul akum as a cheftza shalisser or not. Do we treat it like a cheftza shalisser of machalos asuros, or is it a din in the, for lack of a better term, a din in the gavra that we don't want to create a sense of friendship with the Ovdei Chavim, and as a result of that, because we're afraid of that sense of friendship, I can't eat what he's cooked. Not that what he's cooked is not kosher, but I can't eat it. It's a din in the gavra. In which case, it doesn't have to be kendor raisa of machalos asuros. So that's actually two deos in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch quotes both deos, whether bishul akum trafes up kelim or not. Shulchan Aruch quotes yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, and generally speaking, when he quotes yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, we paskin like the second yesh omrim, which happens to be in this case that it's asur, that it trafes up the kelim. So that's really the halacha, that if someone if there's bishul akum and there's no other snif lahakel, very often you have other snif from lahakel that you're not certain that it was bishul akum. There were some other issues. Maybe it's not really a lol shulchan malacha. Maybe we'll get into the bishul akum sugyas. But if there's no other snif lahakel, it really does trafe up the kelim. At least the chachila b'diavad, we could be somech that okay, you cook something else in the kli already. Can you eat that? Yeah, you can eat that. But can you use that kli again? No, that's a lechachila that you're not allowed to do. So okay. So but at least over here, though, called the tikkun rabbanan kendar aisa tikkun, there has to be another difference between stam yenam versus chametz b'pesach, and that other difference is when you use something for chametz b'pesach, using it for hot, by stam yenam using it for cold. And obviously, although we're concerned about blios, as we discussed yesterday, by stam yenam, even though stam yenam is cold, but the concern for blios with something cold is a much lesser concern than the concern for blios with something hot, because heat affects the transfer of tam much more effectively. So the Gemara brings a maisa now. Rabbi Akiva ikla l'ginzak. Rabbi Akiva went to a place called Ginzak. Bo minei. Misan l'shosei and misan l'shosei. They asked him three shailas, and the only thing these three shailas on the surface seem to have in common is Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer to any of them. So they asked him first, a person who's mekabel a fast for a half a day, meaning he's already halfway through the day, he says, you know what, I'm going to fast till the end of the day. So is that tainis chal on him, or do we say, no, you can't split a day like that and be makabala fast? meaning we're assuming that it's not that he ate breakfast that morning. He's already halfway through the day, and he realizes, hey, I haven't eaten yet. It's already 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I haven't eaten yet. You know what? Might as well make this day a fast day. Might as well make it a religious thing, the fact that I haven't eaten yet, not just that I was so busy. So he declares, from here on, from now on, it's going to be a fast day. So that's the that's how Tosfos points out from the Gemara and Tainus stuff, you know, if it seems clear that that's the case. So they asked the Shaila of Rabbi Kiva, is that a viable fast day? So lo avabiyadeh, he didn't have an answer to them offhand. And then they asked, second question, kan kanim shel avdichav masur mamutarim. You have kli cheres of avdichavim, are they asur or are they mutter? And they were used to hold wine, are they asur or are they mutter? Lo avabiyadeh. Again, he didn't have an answer at the ready. And then the third Shaila, obviously the second Shaila is the reason we're quoting the story. Then the third Shaila they happened to ask him, b'meshi mesh Moshe, kol shivas yimeyam iluim. Which begadim did Moshe Rabbeinu wear for the Avodas HaMishkan throughout the Shivas Yimeyam Luim, when the Big Day Kuhuna he certainly didn't wear? That's the assumption that he couldn't have worn the Big Day Kuhuna, because the Pasuk says, Vasisa Big Day Kodesh La Aharon Achicha. This is obviously Daf Yomi coincidence, this is Parsha. Vasisa Big Day Kodesh La Aharon Achicha. And Moshe was a czar when it comes to the Big Day Kuhuna. That's Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi Maseches Tainus explains the Gemara Shaila a little differently, that it doesn't say that Moshe was Lovesh Big Day Kuhuna. So what was he wearing that day? So it sounds like it was mutter for him. It's just that we don't find anywhere in the Torah that he did it. So minastam, he wasn't wearing those begadim because he wasn't wearing begadim that he would just stop walk out on the street with. He must have been wearing something special. So what was it? If it wasn't Big Day Kuhuna and it wasn't civilian clothing, so what exactly was Moshe wearing? That's the way Rashi seems to understand in the Sefer Tainus what the Gemara is asking over here. So the question was, what kind of clothing was he wearing? So lava biyadeh, again, Rabbi Akiva didn't have an answer at the ready for what Moshe Rabbeinu was wearing. Also, shal be midrasha. So Rabbi Akiva came and he asked in the base medrash all three shailos amri, and they told him hilchasa misan l'shos halacha yisomz mekabel otainis. Halfway through the day, the tainis is chal and he's chayiv to fast the rest of the day. There's a machlokas rishonim if he's chayiv to makabel on himself a tainis l'shos mi ba'od yom, meaning the day before a tainis, because the tainis for a full day, Shmuel says in tainis taf yud beis that if he's not makabel himself a tainis mi ba'od yom, the tainis is not going to be chal. And if he's yoshev b'tainis, he's like mafuach malei avir, like a balloon full of air. That it's meaning he's fasting for no reason. So Tosfos shita is that he has to be makabel the tainis mi ba'od yom. That if he doesn't eat. Which means, how are you makabel tainis mi ba'od yom? I thought the whole idea of tainis l'shos is you already made it halfway through the day and you happen to have not fasted yet. So no, what it means is that the previous day you say, you know what, if I don't have a chance to eat breakfast tomorrow, then I'll be makabel tainis for the rest of the day. But not that initially he's planning on fasting the entire time. It's just that if it works out conveniently for me in the first half of the day, so then I'm not going to be eat the rest of the day. The Ramban and the Meiri say that no, he could even be makabel tainis before he begins to fast, but on that day. But now it doesn't have to be on the previous day. Okay, v'im hishlim, and if he's mashlim the tainus mispal tefilas tainus, then he's supposed to say aneinu in minchad, because it's actually a fast day, so it counts. V'hilchasa, the halacha is kankanim shalov dekchavim la'achar shnei masar chodesh mutarim. As far as the second shaila about the klei cheres of ovdei kechavim after 12 months that it went without any liquid in it, so it's mutter and you don't need to be machshir it at all. We assume whatever blios it had dried up after 12 months. And as far as the third question, b'meshi mishmoshe shivisimei miluim b'chaluk lavan, he wore a plain chaluk lavan, a kittel. That's what he wore for the shivisimei miluim. Rav Kana masi b'chaluk lavan shein bo imra. Rav Kana said that not just a chaluk lavan, it has to be a chaluk lavan that had no hem, it had no pockets, it had nothing like that. And the reason it had to have something like that, Rashi says, is because we don't want people to be choshed that he's bringing money out of he's bringing ma'os hekdesh and he's hiding it in his pockets or hiding it in the hems of his clothing, because the pasuk says v'yisim nekiim me Hashem umi Yisrael, that you're supposed to be completely naki, you're supposed to be completely beyond reproach, so no one should ever suspect you of anything. So your behavior has to be such that no one would ever even suspect you. Rashi doesn't like this. And now we're still here. Rashi says, Shibsi Meir Miluim, the Melech Samishkan was already done. There was no money to be choshed him of taking anymore. It was the Melech Samishkan was all finished already. Everything was already used. So Tosfos explains two possibilities. He says, first of all, the chaluk had to be brand new. That was never used by a hadyot. So that's why they made it below Imra, that it's more nicker, that it's brand new. If it's something that's completely no one ever would ever wear, because most people that wear clothing would wear something with a hem, with a something. He was wearing with nothing, so that made it obvious that it was made specifically for this purpose. And that's why it's below Imra. And then he quotes Rabbeinu Moshe, that in order that people shouldn't say that when Moshe does the Avodah, when Moshe's done with the Avodah and Aaron takes over, that the problem was that they found a mum in Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why they made it below Imra, meaning something that's made, it's almost like an incomplete garment. You make it without any pockets, without any anything to it, so it's clear that it was only a temporary piece of clothing, Me'ikara. Otherwise, people are going to look at Moshe, they'll say, how come he's not working as a Kohen Gadol anymore? There must have been a problem with him. No, but if you see that he clearly, they only made him a beged that was only meant to be a temporary beged in the first place, obviously that was the plan all along, and it wasn't that they had any problems with Moshe Rabbeinu. Rashi, Maseches Tainus and Daf Yud Aleph has a different girsa in this story. You see, the way we have it is Rabbi Akiva Ikla Leginzak. They asked three shilas of Rabbi Akiva, and the only thing they had in common is that Rabbi Akiva didn't know the answer to any of them. Rashi has a girsa that it was Mar Ukva Ikla Leginzak, and he says it can't be that it was Rabbi Akiva for two reasons. First of all, it's impossible that Rabbi Akiva wouldn't know the answers to these questions, that these questions were basic enough for someone on the Madrega of Rabbi Akiva that he would have known the answers. And the Paras Yosef, he writes, it could be that it's Rabbi Akiva, but there was a Rabbi Akiva Namora as well, not the Rabbi Akiva the Tana. This is Rabbi Akiva the Amora. But that's one reason Rashi says it can't be Rabbi Akiva. Second, he says, if it was Rabbi Akiva, it should have said the Lashon of the Brisa, Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva. Over here it says Ikla. Whenever we tell stories of Rabbi Akiva, it's always Maisa b'Rabbi Akiva, not just Rabbi Akiva Ikla, that Rabbi Akiva went. Tosfos doesn't like that Raya. He says, because a lot of times you have Maisim of Tanaim in the Lashon of a Gemara, not in the Lashon of a Tana. You know, Ikla is obviously Lashon of an Amora. That's a Lashon of Aramaic. That's not a Lashon of a Tana. But he says, you have that all the time. That's not something that bothers Tosfos. And the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Elchanan, he keeps our Girsa, and he says Rabbi Akiva was mistapek, even though he was a Tana, there was good reason for him to be mistapek on these things. And he tries to develop how these sfeikos are much deeper than we would actually assume they are. The Chasam Sofer works hard to try to figure out what the common denominator between these three questions are. Do they have anything in common? So that you have to work a little hard on to try to figure out what these three questions have in common. La halacha, the Rambam passed in the Shulchan Aruch and Simtav Kuf Samach Beis that we're nogin lomar anenu even if you're not mashlim the tainus. And the Mishabur explains because some poskim explain that when the Gemara says kol tainus shel shakalav chama eino tainus, that any tainus that doesn't have a shkias hachama on it is not a tainus. That's only if you are mekabel the tainus for a yom shalem and you were not mashlim, that's not a tainus. So then you don't say anenu. But if you were mekabel the tainus only until mincha, where it's only in a Kabbalah to be mitzari yourself, so that's a tainus as far as Anenu is concerned as well. Rov Poskim disagree with that, but nevertheless, Ramah says we shouldn't be so mech on the mitzvahs Poskim when it comes to a Yachid to say Anenu b'shomea tfila and to finish with that Kiyato Shomea, because you can add in whatever you want into Shomea tfila. So anyway, so that's the sum of the discussion when it comes to the tainus l'shaul. Now the idea of wearing the Imra Lavan, wearing that Moshe Rabbeinu wore this chaluk that had no hem and nothing, so Chasam Sofer writes that based on Rashi Maseches Tainus, that the chaluk that Moshe Rabbeinu wore didn't have any pockets because it was just one plain sheet. And he explains based on the Ramban in Vayikra Perek Tes Zayin that the Kohen in Bigdei Lavan was like a Malach Hashem Tzvakos, an Ish Lovesh Habadim, and the Malach would wear Badim from Mitchilas Briyasa, from the time that he was born, because he's Nivra V'notzer, he doesn't change at all, as opposed to a Kohen is Miskadish V'holich Mialduso until he gets to a Madrega of being a Lovesh Habadim. So the Chaluk Shalavan that he wore that he wears is made with different pieces of cloth, because it's not finished at one time. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, he already was Yotze Mibetan Imo, meaning normally Bigdei Kuna are made from a combination of different cloths, because they have to be sewn together. Yeah, that's Bigdei Kuna, because a Kohen has to build up to become who he becomes. Moshe Rabbeinu was Kadosh Mibetan. Moshe Rabbeinu in the Smalei Abayis Kulo Ora when he was born. So Moshe Rabbeinu was B'dmus Malach, that a Malach is wears a Bad Chalak, that it's just completely one piece of cloth to show that it always was, that it never changed, that it was never something that it had to develop. It was perfect meikara, and that was that's what represents Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Not all of the Mefarshim view Moshe Rabbeinu in that way, that it was as if he never changed and he was the Adon Kol HaNaviyim meikara. No, it could be that many of the Rishonim understand that his nevuah till he became the Adon Kol HaNaviyim, it took some developing till he got to that point. But okay, but that's how the Chasam Sofer understands, and this may relate to the minhag to wear a kittel on the wedding day. It may relate to the minhag to wear a kittel on the night of the Seder, that it could be that the kittel represents Mechilas Avonos, that the kittel represents Avoda, that a person is doing Avoda on the night of the Seder. Certainly, where it's Achilas Karban Pesach, the Netziv writes in this Haggadah that relates to the fact that it's a Karban, that the Ikra of the night is a Karban, so the wearing the kittel is a Zecher to wearing special clothing for Achilas HaKarban. So there are a lot of other reasons as well, to be Maskri Yom HaMisa and other things as well, but this may all relate back to this as well. Okay, so the Mishnah went on to say, Achatzan V'azagim Shel Odei Chavim, that different grape products of Odei Chavim, Rameir said, Arasir Afilu Bana, and Rameir said, no, the Chavim said, only if they're moist, they're Arasir, but if they're dry, they're Mutter. Tan Rabbanan, so we have a Braisa, Achatzan V'azagim Shel Odei Chavim, you have seeds and peels of grapes that belong to Odei Chavim, Lach and Asurin, if they're still moist, they're Asir, Yveshim Mutarim, if they're dry, they're Mutter. How do you tell what's considered moist halachically, what's considered dry? Moist means for the first 12 months after you squeeze the grapes, and dry means it's been more than 12 months since you squeezed the grapes, so we assume that any moisture in it is completely gone. Itmar. So we said in the base medrash, Amar Rabbi Bar Bechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Keshein Asurin Asurin Afilu Bahana. When they're in the moist state, that they're still Asur, during those first 12 months, they have a din of Yayin Esech. They're totally Asur Bahana. And then when you hit the 1 year anniversary, Kshein Mutarin, when they become Mutar because they dry out, Mutarin Afil Bachila. It flips entirely. It becomes completely Mutar. Not only Bana, even Bachila, you're even allowed to eat it. So the Gemara explains other things relating to 12 months. Amrazvit. If you have wine sediment that came from Goyim, after 12 months it's mutter, because we assume that it's completely dry. Any wine that was balua in them is completely gone, is completely dried out. The Amr of Chaviv Breid Rava, Hani Gulfi, Klei Cheres of the Chavim, Basav Tres Yarchi Shasa, Shari. 12 months later, their mutter, we assume whatever wine was balua in them is completely dried out. So aside from Milui, the Iroi, Me'es La'es, three times we learned about yesterday, the other way to kasher it is just let it sit for 12 months, and that will kasher it as well. Whatever time is there will dry out. Amr of Chaviva, Hani Avta d'tayai, a canteen of Ovdik Chavim that was made from a thick type of leather, and they would walk around with it, traveling from place to place, and fill it up with wine when they'd go to great distances. Basar Tresu Yarchi Shasa, Shari. 12 months pass by that it hasn't been used. We assume whatever absorption is in it is completely dried up, and it's mutter. The Amar Rav Acha Breid Ravika, Hani Purtsani Darma'i, the grape sediment of Ovdik Chavim, Basar Tresu Yarchi Shasa, Shari. Again, 12 months later is mutter. Whatever wine is balua there is dried up. Amar Rav Acha Breid Rava, Hani Gulfi Shchimi V'Ukmi, Kankana made out of Cheres, black Cheres of Ovdik Chavim, that you put wine in for a long time, that the Ovdik Chavim put wine in for a long time, Basar Tresu Yarchi Shasa, Shari. 12 months later, it's all going to be mutter. We assume that everything is dried up. So all of these halachas, the one thing they all have in common is that these are all types of kelim or types of things that we assume 12 months later the belios are completely gone. Even though many of them are machnisa lakim, they're things that you leave for a long time. So you have these two options: you have milui ve'iroi, or you have the option of letting it go for 12 months. Now the Mishnah moves on, the Gemara moves on to the next discussion of the Mishnah, which was Hamurias. Morias was some type of fish fat dish that was made that Rav Meir says is asr not just ba'achil, it's asr ba'ana, and the Chachamim say that no, it's not asr ba'ana. So Tan Rabbanan, Morias uman mutter. If it's made by a mumcha, by someone who knows how to make morias, it's mutter, because the whole reason of the concern of morias is that sometimes they'll use non-kosher fish. But an uman knows how to make it without, he'll know that the non-kosher fish is not going to make as high a quality. The opposite. The issue of morias is not because of a concern of non-kosher fish. If it were a concern of non-kosher fish, then we'd have to be concerned about the uman as well. Now the concern is that an amateur will add wine into it, but an uman knows not to mix wine into it, because wine will actually ruin the taste somewhat. So an amateur making morias is going to put some wine into it, he's going to think it's going to add flavor. But someone who has a more sensitive palate and who knows what he's doing is going to know that putting wine into the morias is going to be counterproductive. So that's why when it's made by an uman, you don't have to worry about the wine. But as far as non-kosher fish, for whatever reason, we're not concerned about that at all. We assume that it's made only with kosher fish. Even little fish that when they grow, they develop fins and scales. Where the Gemara is going to say later on, you get this dish made out of these tiny little fish that when they grow develop fins and scales. So we're going to say if you get it from an Ovid Chavim, it's also ba'achila, because there are probably dugim tameim that are mixed in. So Rabbi Gamliel tells us, name Rabbi Chanina Gamliel, that if it's made by an uman, it's mutzer ba'achila, because the uman is gonna pull out all the non-kosher fish from the, when he has this all these tiny little fish, he's gonna pull out the non-kosher ones, because the non-kosher ones are gonna ruin the tam, it's gonna ruin the taste of the dish, and he's not gonna want that to happen. He's not gonna want to ruin the taste. So the Gemara tells us, Tani Avimi Bereder Rabbi Avo, Murias Uman. You have this this fish oil that was made by an uman. It's totally mutter to use. Hu Tani Lava Hu Amarla. So he explained the halacha as follows, that Murias of an uman is mutter completely. That Murias of an uman is not completely mutter. It's just that when people sell the fish, a lot of times they'll put water and salt on the fat of the fish in order to take out some of the fat. Pam Rishon Vesheni, and therefore the first and second time that they put water and salt on it in order to draw out the ingredient that they're trying to draw out, so mutter, it's going to be mutter. But Shlishi Aser, the third time it's going to be Aser. My time, why is there a difference between the first two times and the third time? Pam Rishon Vesheni Denafish Shumnaihu, the first two times where there's a lot of shomen, there's a lot of fat, Lo Tzarek Lemir Mibu Chamra, you don't have to put wine in, the wine is just going to ruin it. Mikan the Elach, but already on the third generation Moria, Ramabu Chamer, they're going to put wine in it and the wine's not going to ruin it, because there's not that much shuman to begin with. So that's why in the third time you already have to be concerned that there's going to be wine mixed in. So Gemara tells the story, Yahu Arba de Muryasa, there was a boat full of Muryas, Da'asi Linamela Da'ako, that came to the port of Akko. Osef Rabbi Abba de Min Akko, Netori Ba'ada. So Rabbi Abba de Min Akko appointed Shomrim, Mashkichim, to watch over the Morias to make sure that no one adds wine to it. So Amale Rava said to Rabbi Abba, you know, you're a little late on this. Ada Idna Manatre. A boat just came in full of Morias. Who was watching it while it was on the boat? Who was watching it before it came to port? So Amale Adi Idna Lamanechushle. He says, up until now, what was there to be concerned about? He says, Imishum, what, you're worried that they're mixing wine into the Morias? You don't have to worry about that, because by them they wouldn't do that. Kista de Morias Beluma, Kista de Chamra Barba Lume. It would only be counterproductive for them. Morias is cheaper for them than wine is. Wine is four times as expensive as Morias. So they're not going to, you know, inflate the Morias by sticking wine into it. and to make it look like they have more morius than they have. That would only cost them money. But maybe when they came to the by boat to Akko, they came through Tsur to Shavi Chamra, where wine is very cheap. Meaning you don't know where this boat stopped before it got here to the port of Akko. So yeah, we're in its point of origin in Achinami. At the point of origin, they never would have stuck wine into it because wine was more expensive. But they could have stopped somewhere along the way where wine was very cheap and then put wine into it. Some later, Rabbi Zeira said to Rabbi Yirmiya, Hasumi Kulev Shuri Ika. They would never travel in that direction to Tsur because there are all sorts of rocks right by the riverbanks over there where it's very difficult to steer a boat in such an area without ruining the boat. So there's no doubt that they did not stop in Tsur. They came straight from wherever they came. They came to Akko, and therefore we have every right to assume that there's no concern over here. Ugvinas besun yaki. And then we said that certain types of cheese, according to our mayor's asubana, the Chum say is not asubana. So I'm Rabbi Shimon Lakshmi Maas, Ugvina Naki, Mnei Sherov, Agal Mshalosi Ir, Nishchatan Avot Zchavim. Why is it asur? Because we assume the rove of the calves in that city are shechted for Avodazara, and therefore the rennet that comes from those calves is going to be usher. So Maria Rova Golem, Afilu Miut, why do you have to assume that it's because the majority of the cows are Shechted Avodah Zarah? Even if it was only a minority, the Rameir Chayish Lemiuta, after all, Rameir is one who's Choshish for the Miut. The Rameir holds that we're not always Azlin and Basar Rov. We don't always follow the Rov. Rameir holds that a Katan and a Katana cannot do Chalitza, and they cannot do Yibum, and the reason they can't do Yibum is because we're Choshish that the Katan is going to turn out to be a Sris. The Katan is going to turn out to be an islandess. What are the chances? Rov Katanim are not Srisim. Rov people do not develop into a Sris. Rov girls do not develop into an islandess. But a mayor is Choshish Lemiuta. That's for a mayor in general, that he's Choshish Lemiuta. So even if it was only a miut of the Agolim that are Shechted Avodah Zarah, a mayor would have to be Choshish. Why do you have to say it's Rov? So it says Gemara, E Amrit Rov, Ikamiut. If there's a rove of our golem that are shechted to avod chavim, so then there's a miut that are not shechted lavel dezara. But e amrit miut. But if it's only a miut, kiven deika rove golem de ein shechatan avod chavim, vi ikanami shar behemel stein shechatan avod chavim. You have a double miut. You have rove that are not shechted lavel dezara, and then you have other behemos that are not shechted lavel dezara that they also could have used the rennet from the stomach for the other behemos. Savale miut de miuta. It then becomes a double miut. Well, miuta de miuta lochaish Rameir. And for a double miut, for a miuta de miuta, Rameir is not going to be concerned. So since Rameir asers this cheese bahana'a, you have to say that rova golem of that place are shechted avodazara. And even though this cheese could have been made with keva of other behemos, not agolim that are not shechted avodazara, or with keva of agolim that are not shechted avodazara, but Rameir is choshish lemiuta. Since rova golem are shechted avodazara, that's only a single miut and Rameir is choshish lemiuta. But a double miut, Rameir never would have been choshish for in the first place. Tulsos raises the question, even though Rova Agolim of Beis Onyaki are shechted for Avodah Zarah, Rameir should still be matir, because there's also a Rov Heter and a Chazak al Heter. You have Rov Behemos that are not shechted Avodah Zarah, only the calves are shechted Avodah Zarah. And then you have a Chazaka on the calves themselves, that before they were shechted, the Keva was not Asur Avodah Zarah, so it should be a Miuta de Miuta anyway. So Tulsos suggests that after the Shechita, that Chazaka goes away. Meaning, once it's already been shechted, the animal's already been shechted, so then we assume that there's no longer such a chazaka. What does it matter that it was shechted avod zara? You're the one that told us that a golem that is shechted avod zara mutar ba'ana. The itmar, because we had a statement as follows. If you shecht an animal having in mind to be zari to dam avod zara, to burn the chalif to avod zara, Rabbi Yochanan Omer Asura, Rabbi Yochanan holds it's aser, it's aser ba'ana, it has a din of avod zara, kasav, mechash, me'avod la'avoda. He thinks that even though you only did the shechita with the plan of doing something else la'avod zara, that already creates an isra na, the whole animal, at the time of shechita. Why? Yafinan, chutz mi'panim. We learn out from the dinim of karbanos, that just like if you have a machsheves pigul during the shas shechita, that you're going to be nechal chutz l'zman, or machter chutz l'zman, so that's going to make the animal pigul, the whole thing pigul. So two of a year, when it comes to machshavas avodah zarah. Rabbi Shimon Lakish amar muteres. Rabbi Shimon Lakish says, no, you're even allowed to eat it. You don't learn avodas chutz from avodas penim. And even though by a korban, if you have a machshavas pigul at the shas shchita, it's going to ruin the whole thing. That's by a korban. But you shech the behema to do avodah zarah with it. L'shem avodas chavim, the behema's muter bana and by achila. So why is it that gvinas beisunyaki that's made with the keva of an egel that's shech the avodah zarah? Why should it be asr bana? The whole animal is not asr bana. Amalei, Rabbi Shimon Lakish said back to Rabbi Shimon Bar Eliakim, Tarminach Shaitach, that you did well by asking such a question, meaning you have good mazel, it must be you're having a mazel dika day, because he asked a gvaldika kasha, and he says that the shechting of these agalim that makes a gvinas based on unaiki is ba'omer b'gmar zvicha hu ovda. You're right, it's not that he's shechting it having in mind that later I'm going to be zorek dam lava de zara. Enochinami, that would not make it aser. What they're doing is at the gemar shchita, they're already having in mind for avodah zara. So it's not me avodah la'avodah. The shchita itself is l'shem avodah zara, and that certainly is going to aser the behema behana'a, and that's why he has a problem with it. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amr Bigush, Shal Rabbi Shmuel.